I'd like to call to order tonight's October 11th, 2017 meeting of the Genoa Township Zoning Commission. I am standing in for the chair and vice chair at the moment, but as you can see, we have four members to the board, so we do have a quorum. And I'll ask Mr. Schaefer to call the roll.
Certainly. Ms. Faulkner?
Here.
Ms. Patrick?
Here.
Mr. Leff?
Here.
Ms. Rudler?
Here.
So we're calling this meeting to order at 7:03 p.m. With only four members attending and the absence of our chair and vice chair, we're going to talk very briefly about what our homework assignment is in this space, but we will not continue the hearing tonight. What we need from this group is a discussion around, and our first order of business was a discussion around the incorporation of relevant sections of the comprehensive plan into the zoning resolution. I know that's what you all came for tonight. And I apologize that we are not going to field a large enough board to have a substantive conversation. But I think there are two things that we will do tonight because you all came and wanted to discuss this matter. One is that we will open the floor for some public comment on this point because you've come, and in case you can't attend at the next meeting, and I don't know when we will schedule it, we will have to look for a special meeting date. I would like to go ahead and hear from the members of the public who came out tonight and spent their time to join us. And then we're going to have a brief discussion in the board around how we will proceed with that integration. We have not yet drafted a new section of the zoning resolution that would incorporate the parts of the comprehensive plan. I see from several members of the audience we have received public comment on how we might best do that. And so I guess we'll go ahead and hear from the public. That way your comments will be on the record. And we will schedule an additional special meeting to address this, and we will do that as quickly as we can. We will not add this to the meeting on the 16th. We have a regularly scheduled meeting on the 16th for which we have two significant applications. The public meeting notice for that meeting has already been issued, and there is not time to allow people to know that we are changing this part of the agenda to that meeting. So I think in fairness, we will do that. If you would like to speak at tonight's meeting and make public comment, I would ask you to stand and raise your right hand. And please do so, even if there's any chance you'll speak, you're not obligated to, but it keeps us from swearing everyone in over and over again.
Ms. Faulkner,
yes.
Since this is a meeting of the commission just for discussion purposes, I'm not sure, I mean, we can take public comment and we can feel free to swear them in, but since it's not a formal hearing on any pending application, I just want to point out we're not obligated to swear anyone in.
And I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and do it for
purposes and that's
of
perfectly fine. I just want to make sure we got
I understand. I'm going to do it for purposes of ensuring the record, and I am going to do it because there are members of the public who might not be able to attend the next time we schedule this meeting, and I think that's fundamentally unfair because we haven't been able to quite field our board tonight. So with your right hand raised, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you?
I do.
Thank you very much. Be seated. All right, so in the spirit of the way Mr. Jackson likes to do this, we'll start at the front of the room and ask you to speak. If you can keep your comments succinct, I won't need a time limit. Let's not do that tonight. So if you have comments, though, I would like to hear them. And the rest of the board in agreement?
Yes.
Okay, great. So I'll start over here, Mr. Herman. Okay. No one else in the front row?
Yes.
I'm not to you yet. I'm sorry, Mr. Carter.
Sorry.
That front row. Sorry, the empty front row. He just happened to sort of be straddling it. Gentlemen, okay. And then here, Mr. Carter, that would make you next. I've got your name correct, right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Your
name and address, please.
Jim Carter, 4493 South Old 3C Highway. I had a conversation with Mr. Schaefer, an email, which I asked him to forward to you about a difference between the zoning resolution and the comprehensive plan. And tonight I just want to illustrate, though that's a little bit different issue, why we need to put at least Chapter 4 into the zoning resolution. This is what one thing Mr. Schaefer wrote back to me, and I told Mr. Schaefer I was going to read this. So while the comprehensive plan cannot be utilized to enforce density restriction, which it contains, aka administer law, it can be utilized as a guide to assist the township in deciding whether or not property should be rezoned to the zoning decision as being requested by the applicant, and it can be used to justify such a decision. That leaves me confused, mm-hmm. Because I'm sure that's the correct legal thing to say, or that's, you know, certainly the correct definition of it. But it's another illustration why Chapter 4 should be in zoning resolution, because in the Vinmar request, they say legally they have the right, and they quote our zoning resolution, to go to 1.45, or they could go to 1.8 or 2.2, which is what the zoning resolution says. Ohio Revised Code says we can have a comprehensive plan. Our zoning resolution says the comprehensive plan counts before anything else. But evidently there's a legal opinion from Mr. King that says it doesn't. So we need one playbook that you guys get to work from, rather than of all the things we have to decide, we don't need to decide if the comprehensive plan is important or the zoning resolution is important. So please do at least put Chapter 4 of the comprehensive plan into the zoning resolution. And hopefully, you know, a legal way so we never get challenged by somebody, because we want to make the right decisions for the right reasons. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Bindle-Krauser? Okay. Moving back to the next row, sir? Okay. I'll get back there in just a second. I think I put you in the fourth row. So, I'm sorry, right here behind Mr. Carter. Anyone in this row? Like to make any comments? Mr. Byrd? Okay. Going back to the back row, sir? And even though you've said it many times before, your name and address, please, sir.
Kenneth Davis, 8343 Oxbow. Mr. Carter took my glory here in saying that you guys worked on that comprehensive plan so long and so diligently that I hate to see it as just being a plan. I'd like to see it incorporated, at least pieces of it, if nothing else, that are pertinent, that are contrary to the zoning rules that we have now. Get them both, like he said, aligned. That's what we need, an alignment between them, so that there aren't several opinions. Mm-hmm. So it's all one idea, and that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Change your mind, Bill. Come on up.
Bill Byrd, 8383 West Shore Drive. And I sent you an email earlier about this when it's first.
You received it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I guess at that time I was saying we should incorporate the entire comprehensive plan into there, and that was my initial impression. However, when you stop to think about what the comprehensive plan is, the whole purpose of that is to show that your zoning resolution is not outdated. I mean, you can't have something done a century ago and then try to enforce it today. That's not going to happen. So the purpose of the comprehensive plan is to every 5 years go about the community and see what's changed and what's the same. And so you go through that process and you do all these surveys and you see what roads, who owns the roads, how many new roads there are, how many new residents. I mean, that's like a survey. You're doing an inventory of the township, and then you're collecting all that data. And then in Chapter 4, you're taking all that data and you're making these recommendations, and then those recommendations are what should be then passed on into the zoning resolution and incorporated, I mean, or modified or whatever. I mean, that's the, when you look at the whole process, most of that comprehensive plan is just going out and finding out what people think. And whatever they think needs to be included in that comprehensive plan. When I did it with the Otterbein people, mm-hmm. we had people that wanted to have a shooting range here because they were mad at the Canada geese. So that's in the comprehensive plan. And what I'm saying is you don't want to incorporate the entire document in there, because someone's going to come along and say, well, your comprehensive plan says you want a shooting range. Well, that's really not, that was one little table in this visioning thing. I mean, but their voice has to be heard, so it has to be included. So that's part of the comprehensive plan, but that's the raw data. The Chapter 4 is the collection of all that and the condensing of that to be passed on to the zoning resolution. So I do think that you need to either have a part of the zoning resolution that takes those recommendations and says, here we are with this survey, and now that's part of our resolution. But our resolution historically has not been written to be a standalone document. It's always had a complement. It's always had someone that was a supporting document. So if you want to do that, it'll be 3 or 4 years before you ever accomplish that. And what I'm saying is, if you can just incorporate the Chapter 4, which are your recommendations, and all they are densities, that's all that is, and the types of usages that you can use. And you can put that in there by reference, by incorporation. That's how they do building codes. That's how you build buildings. The building code just says go over to the American Concrete Institute and see what they're saying about concrete, and now that's incorporated in here. That's how you build your building. The Steel Institute, you go and do that. They don't rewrite all those things. They just say it's in our code, and this is what we want. And I think you can do that, but you can't do it with the statement that you've got in there now, which just says you can't do anything in future developments unless it's in accordance to with your current comp plan, because, and that's what the attorney said. The attorney says the difference between the resolution and the comprehensive plan is there was a right to referendum on that. The people had a voice. If they didn't like your zoning resolution, they had an option to say, no, we don't like that. But with a comprehensive plan, that goes to the trustees vote for it, and the citizens don't get a chance to say whether they agree with the trustees or not. So the comprehensive plan is not legal. But if you incorporate an old comprehensive plan into a newer zoning resolution, then that incorporation happens, and then if they don't like that old comprehensive plan when you incorporate it in your new resolution, they have a right to referendum. So therefore, you've kind of somewhat brought that comprehensive plan into legal status. I mean, that's the way I see this. And to me, by just incorporating the Chapter 4, it would be a pretty easy thing to do. You wouldn't have to rewrite the code to be a standalone document. And I believe it would be legal, but that's not my profession. Thank you.
Thank you. So before I close public comment, we have a discussion at the board here. Has anyone thought that they want to say something now? So I'm going to do that. I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the board. I think a couple of things, and then I'd like to hear from the fellow board members. We rarely have a meeting in which the public speaks that we don't have something in it that we're like, I wonder how we're going to accomplish that. But I would say in general, from my perspective, I'm in violent agreement with the recommendation. In particular, Bill, you and I worked together a long time ago on the comprehensive plan, and I would say at that time, the perception was the comprehensive plan had an existence of its own. It is created by the Ohio Revised Code. It has a purpose. In fact, it says first there will be a comprehensive plan and then there will be a zoning resolution. Now, what we heard from Mr. King in subsequent discussions and meetings is I think they have evolved their thinking about what the purpose of the comprehensive plan is and about whether or not you can rely on the comprehensive plan. And frankly, he told us that for most townships, their comprehensive plan is a pointless document that's a joke. They don't spend any time, they don't spend any effort, they don't collect as much information. He didn't name names, but that was his general impression, which is the comprehensive plan in other townships would not hold up to the kind of scrutiny we've put ours to. So I think they've evaluated and decided it's a best practice. They want to see all of that in the zoning resolution, and the answer to that is to say only the zoning resolution is subject to referendum. I don't particularly have a problem with that, but I also don't particularly have a problem with how we have historically operated the plan. So now we have new information, and I think that we'll talk to the board, but in general, we're entirely in favor of moving the densities we intend to observe into the zoning resolution, because we always intended to observe those densities. When we do an initial evaluation, we're always looking at those densities. We're always back in the comprehensive plan. And we may be the outlier township, but I'm pretty proud of all the work we've done on the comprehensive plan and all the hours that we put into it, and I think it does reflect the views of folks, and I think it consistently reflects the views of folks. Not everything to everybody, but many things to almost everyone else. So in my opinion, we will be incorporating it, and we will do it the simple way, and we will not take 2 years to do it. And I do think it is a Chapter 4 discussion. But I would like to let the rest of the board members, since they're here, express their own opinions around the general concept of incorporating it. That's what we agreed to do at our last meeting, that we would get together tonight and work out the incorporation. We won't do the legwork on that, but everyone went away with a homework assignment, which was to read Chapter 4 in depth if they had not previously done that. We have some new members, and make sure that they understood what our mandate was and what we were going to be needing to do. So just so we can open up that discussion in case anyone has any questions, and then maybe we'll come up with another homework assignment for ourselves so we can move this forward in a timely fashion. I think the trustees have mandated it, and we're in agreement. I'm in agreement with it. I won't speak for the entire board. Ms. Patrick.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I have a little bit of a different perspective. I came in on the tail end of comprehensive plan work, so I was not involved early on in the revision. But I was always under the impression that the resolution was the legal document. I was never under the impression that the comprehensive plan was something that was enforceable. So I do remember having discussions about certain aspects of the comprehensive plan and whether they should be incorporated into the zoning resolution. And I think my comment at that time was, if you want it to be enforced, it needs to be in law. And to me, the resolution is law, and that's how I've always viewed it. So if you want to be able to enforce these, then absolutely it needs to be incorporated. So we are on the same page there.
Okay. Mr. Lott?
We're in complete agreement on that. Coming to all the meetings that you guys held for the comp plan and listening to what was going on, I realized that the next step was the modification of the zoning resolution, and that's the next logical step moving forward. I know that it's taken longer than some people have wanted to get to this point, but there were a few things from a legality standpoint that superseded everything, such as the signs amendment and some other submissions, so it may not have been done up till now, but we're working on it. So, resolution's up on the docket for us to work on, and that's the next step to get it done and get it in line with the comp plan.
Ms. Ridley?
I agree. I was involved in some of the meetings for the comp plan, but not all of them. And of course, I'm the newest person on the board here. And I think for me, knowing that the comp plan was a plan, it was our guidelines for the future, how our community wants to grow, was very important. And knowing that the zoning is the law, and that's where we have to go next and try to make the accommodations we have to jive them. So I think we're all on the same page with that. I feel like, you know, we're working hard toward that, but we have the legal issues of the signs and some things that we need to change because of the legal ramifications of all the laws. So I agree.
Can I just say this? I know that it is really frustrating that things take so long. And anytime you change legislation, it is a time-consuming process. But I have seen the consequence when you don't take the necessary time. And it can create problems. And all I can say is that we are committed to doing the best that we can, to looking at the big picture, to viewing zoning as a whole and our community as a whole, and making decisions that are in the best interest of our community. And that might not be something that happens overnight, but we're doing the best that we can and we're working hard on it. And you know, we appreciate you guys coming out and voicing your opinions. We take them seriously. Every email that we get, Joe forwards to us and we read them. So I know it's frustrating, but I just have to ask you to be patient. We're going to do the best we can to get it done in a timely manner. And you know, that's all I can say.
Thank you very much. So with that in mind, perhaps we should come up with a quick game plan for going forward at the next meeting. So I would ask you, Mr. Schaefer, perhaps in Article 5, which right now of the zoning resolution, which is right now named Establishment of Districts and Maps, that we either create an Article 5A, which is fine with me, or an amendment to the end of 5, which would start at 504, which describes the planning areas that are set forth in Chapter 4 Planning Area Recommendations, starting on page 61 of my copy of the Comprehensive Plan, which there are always new copies and I'm always a copy behind, in which we incorporate typically it is the first paragraph of the planning area that describes the geographic boundaries, which is just a technical explanation of the geographic boundaries of each of the planning areas. There are, on occasion, at the end of those sections, a statement that is an opinion. And I would say that we would strike those statements for purposes of the first draft. So for example, in planning area one, there is an expansive discussion about exactly which streets comprise planning area one. And at the end it says, this area is mostly built out. In my mind, this area is mostly built out is a comprehensive plan comment. The boundaries are a zoning resolution comment. And then there are some comments about unique uses. I'm somewhat less interested in those appearing in the zoning resolution. And then it goes on to say the plan recommends, and then provides the details which you had previously summarized in some of these handy-dandy little charts that I still refer to. And that instead of the plan recommending, we should state that appropriate uses or types of, let's see, what are they, what do we call them? Appropriate districts in this planning area are. And then use the bullets that are underneath there in order to fill in the details of what is appropriate in that district. Now, we'll have to come back and have a discussion about whether recommends corresponds to put it in the plan, but I would just start this way from a drafting perspective so we have something to work from. Because I'd like for us at the next meeting when we schedule it to be working off of a draft document that is the inclusion for the zoning resolution so we can advance this. And I would pick up each of the components. There are parts of this, Mr. Schaefer, that are, they're not pejorative, but they are certainly opinions rather than facts. And where you see that, I would ask that you strike it, perhaps, or give us a view to what you struck from there, where we're sort of talking, the way the comprehensive plan talks about things, they talk about the future and what might happen, and that's not appropriate for the zoning resolution. What we need in the zoning resolution is, where are we located, what will we allow? Because the way the zoning resolution is set up now, it's set up by types of housing. You know, types of zoning, rural residential, suburban residential, planned community. The way the comprehensive plan is set up kind of on the opposite axis. Where are we? What do we allow? Where are we? What do we allow? And those things aren't the same concept in here, so we do need to knit them together a tiny bit just so that they work that way. And I would have them come before the types of housing in the order of the zoning resolution. So if we would pick those up so that at the next meeting we would be in a position to read that draft as a draft of, if you want to make it Article 5A, because that makes it easier for pagination and other things rather than actually adding it to Article 5, I have no personal preference to that. But that would give us a physical document to work off of at the next meeting so that at the conclusion of those edits, we would have a product that we could present. So I would ask my other board members, because I kind of jumped into that, are we okay with that as a way to chase this down and have things to look at, so we're evaluating content at the next meeting? Okay? Okay. So in a few places, you may have to use your imagination a bit, Mr. Schaefer, in order to have that make sense, because there are comments about topography and other things that don't really belong in the resolution. So we would plan to leave it in the comprehensive plan as it's created for now. I think we would wait and do comprehensive plan changes later once we know what the resolution looks like. I would not advocate that we have both sets of numbers in both documents because they are guaranteed to get out of alignment at some point, which will add to the confusion. But for purposes of the first act, to move it into the zoning resolution and then take up as a second matter amending the comprehensive plan so that we conquer this one thing at a time. And that way we can move forward the draft of the zoning resolution with our signs component, because we have held up the signs portion of the zoning resolution, so we can tack this on and have the trustees handle it through one set of meetings with all residents and one vote, which we think will speed the process along rather than sending them signs and then they schedule meetings and schedule meetings, and then we bring this and they schedule meetings and schedule meetings. So we are moving forward under that process to give them one set of documents to look at and one set of documents to vote on. While the signs amendments are pretty comprehensive, they are designed to meet the requirements set forth by the Supreme Court. So I don't expect there to be a lot of controversy on what we've done to the sign amendments, because we're really just doing what the Supreme Court said we had to do. So I don't expect that to hang up looking at this part of the process any more than any normal set of meetings. Otherwise, I would split them into two components and let them move separately. So any concerns about asking Mr. Schaefer to move forward with that draft so that we as collectively as a board have content to work from?
No, great idea.
Okay. So that gets us going on our road. We will have content to look at the next time we meet. Mr. Schaefer does not have access to the Township Hall at this time in order to set the next meeting date. So we will have it by the time we meet on the 16th, Joe?
Yes, that's possible.
We can or decide it there, so we will be publishing it and speaking to it at that meeting. I know a number of people will attend that meeting as well. Okay. Any other concerns for the board before I close this order of business? All right, well, we will close the hearing on this part of our meeting now at 7:27 p.m. Then our next regularly scheduled meeting is on October the 16th. It is a regular meeting. We do have the third hearing on two separate applications, Hawk's Nest and Vinmar 456, my least favorite name for a project. So that meeting will occur as scheduled. We will not take up this topic then because, like I said, we've given public notice on what we will speak about. And unless there's any other business, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn this meeting at 7:29 p.m.
Motion by Tara, second.
Second
by David. All right, all in favor by aye.
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much for coming.